Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 794 for the week of November 22nd, 2025. Happy American Thanksgiving week, everybody.
Okay. Yay.
Happy indeed.
Happy indeed.
Bracing for kitten-proofing Christmas tree.
You gonna hang it from the roof?
No. No, the first rule of cats and Christmas trees is that you do not give them a challenge. Don't hang it from a roof or try to put a fence around it or try to block it off, because all that will do is just say, I can get past that. Hold my catnip.
I'm Chris Privateer. I'm bringing you this week's show, but not really, because Andy's here. Hi, Andy Privateer.
Hello.
Tired Andy.
I'm EP
too. I woke up at 3, had to play a little bit of Path of Exile and go back to sleep. But I went back to sleep, and I'm so proud of myself for doing it right.
I think just as Chris was going to sleep was when I woke up and was awake for like an hour, and then finally went back to sleep.
I noticed that, and that was like, oh, he's beginning to stir. And I'm sleepy enough to try to get back to sleep, so I'm going to do my best to get back to sleep. I'm not disturbing him.
We're like both trying to be respectful of each other's sleep, and yeah. At least we can say an effort is made. Mm-hmm.
I hate that level of insomnia where 5:30, am I up? My body is up. I can't believe that I'm up. And if I wake up, I'm going to be active for an hour and mm-hmm. then pass back out.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the annoying type of insomnia.
Yeah, that's not me, which is, I don't know if that's better or
worse. You just said you did it last night.
Like, well, when I'm in general, unless it's like before 5 in the morning, if I wake up, I'm up. 5 a.m. is like the line must be drawn here. if I at least make an effort to go to sleep and it's 5 or earlier, I might doze, at least, and rest isn't as good as sleep, but I'll take it.
Okay, first of all, hi, Kelly Ryan, also joining us today. Second, hi. Andy, did you see that alternate ending to the Star Trek episode I sent you?
I did not watch it yet.
Oh, my God. It's the one where Wesley's in the and his Alpha Force or whatever are on trial for doing something dangerous.
Yeah.
There was an alternate ending to that episode, apparently. That they
really?
Discuss, where Ooh. Instead of if nobody speaks up, we all get away with it, it was you're all being expelled unless somebody speaks up. And so instead of Picard encouraging Wesley to tell the truth, Picard was encouraging Wesley to think about his career rather than just to save his friends.
Huh.
Yeah, what a different one that would have been.
Yeah.
That feels so out of character for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the person directing it or whatever changed the ending to the one we know. But
right.
It's from a basic morality lesson to a, what do you save your friends or do you think about your future? Which is in a way more interesting, right? Because it's a more real experience.
It is a more real choice, right? But it also feels very un-Picard. Mm. And I think that's what I'm getting hung up on.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I think if they had Garrick, he would be the one to make the speech.
Right. Like, there are characters who could convincingly pull off, you have to think outside of yourself as like...
Or after you think about yourself. You have to think about yourself. Picard is always thinking about others.
The broader ramifications of the choice.
Huh. And this came up because that's where the origin of the line must be drawn here.
Is it? No, that's from the Borg movie where he gets really mad at the lady for no freaking reason and it's just a poor scene.
I could have
Line must be drawn
it.
Here and no further.
Wasn't there an iconic line from the Wesley episode?
There are many iconic lines from Wesley episodes, but usually they're shut up, Wesley.
then you don't deserve to wear that uniform, is the one from the Wesley episode.
Okay, gotcha.
The duty is to the truth, the something of the truth, and the under God, and you don't, yeah, I don't know. First duty officers, I'll give you the whole line. First duty is to the truth. First duty of every Starfleet officer is to the truth, whether it's scientific truth, or historical truth, or personal truth. It is the guiding principle on which Starfleet is based, and if you can't find it within yourself to stand up and tell the truth about what happened, then you don't deserve to wear that uniform. And now I'm in the Picard song in my head.
See, every time I haven't done a rewatch of TNG because every time we were like, "Do you want to watch Star Trek again?" Yeah. Well, what should we watch? Well, we haven't seen Voyager. No, let's just do DS9 again. Okay.
Can I?
I send you the Julian Bashir DS9 meme?
Oh, if you haven't seen
there
it, Kelly.
There are so many.
This is the one where they're like, it's okay to be gay. It's a coming out party for Bashir. And at the party, he announces he's genetically modified. And nobody was expecting that. Everyone's like, no. I want to know if anyone's actually used the 173467321476 Charlie 32789776437 Tinkle 732 Victor 73117888 732 47678976437 lock password. You know?
I can't believe you memorized that.
I didn't memorize it. I'm reading it off a page.
Okay.
I can't believe I read it with only one hiccup.
That's pretty good.
Like, here I am at 2 a.m. looking up the lyrics to the werewolf song at the end of the werewolf episode of MST3K because I'm trying to memorize it. And then you rattle that off and I'm like, my memory sucks, but no, you're just...
Oh, I wish. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Like, who's memorized that? Because, like, it doesn't seem really random, and there's a lot of 7-6s and 47s because they love 47 in Star Trek writing.
Yeah, why? I can't remember why.
It's the liar's number. I don't know. 47. Mm. The liar's number.
Oh, I'm sure some nerds have memorized it. Hey, did you know that I tried to watch Lower Decks and it was even too nerdy for me?
No.
But you get to see Bashir and Garak.
Okay, in the Lower Decks?
Yeah! Mm. They go real gay. They even kiss, and a rainbow goes off behind them. It is like 11 out of 10 trolling.
Well, now I want to see it, because I ship that ship. I ride that ship. What do you call that ship? Garshir?
Garishir, yeah.
Garishir?
I believe it's Garishir, yeah.
That's the real question. Are you Garishir or are you Oshir?
Well, my biggest issue... Oh, gosh, no.
Or Bob Bryan?
What? Oshir is weird. Orak would be interesting. Racco.
Racco. What?
Racco-do. Garak and Odo. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it should be Quarko, right? But
no, that ship for me is Quarf. No, I'm sorry, not Quarf. Quoto.
Quoto. Quoto. Gotta make
okay,
a Quoto.
So, did you know that we are an RPG podcast?
Nope.
Now we're Trekcast.
Yep. Now we're just like weird nerdcast.
Meanwhile, poor Plotty is probably screaming at the podcast speaker right now.
Hi, Plotty. We love you.
Plotty actually visited Kirk's place of birth.
Mm.
I think he's the dirtiest Star Trek of us all.
I've driven by the Picard place in Iowa, but I haven't visited it. Not Picard. Excuse me, Kirk.
Oh, he's definitely shouting at the... He is 100% shouting now,
Vaughn, we want to know if you memorized the long data password. Get back to that once the stream delay expires. What'd you play?
I played a lot of stuff this week.
I've been playing Hyrule Warriors: Age of Imprisonment.
Oh, how
So
are you liking it?
I love it. All of my characters are either at or very close to level 30 now. I think I'm about 10 or so hours in. I just unlocked the Zora Chiki, and now I'm starting to have to defend my territories because people are showing, random battles are showing up that's like, hey, if you don't finish this in a timely manner, you're going to lose this territory. And it's like, I actually kind of like this plot twist. It's much more realistic than a lot of these games where you have to like capture territory and hold it. So I was very happy to see that.
Yeah, once you capture the whole map, you don't get those anymore. But
Oh.
you won't capture the whole map until post game.
Ah, okay. Which also makes sense. I do really like the two distinct combat groups. It gives you sort of, I just love how well-rounded I feel like I'm hearing this story. And it does give you an opportunity to introduce a lot more characters dividing it up like that. And so I get to hang out with lots more people than I ever expected to. And that's been a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, I think the character type diversity in this game is a lot better than the two previous games. Mainly because there is no really standout character. They all play differently, but they all play well.
Yeah, and I think that is something that I love and hate at the same time because there's no real one character that I'm focusing on. I am like constantly out of Zorite. Like I cannot upgrade my weapons fast enough, for lack of a better phrasing, because I just never have adequate materials to keep everybody upgraded. And I know that's intended to be a feature, not a bug, and it's just an it shouldn't annoy me, and it does.
Once you start. I don't know how much you're paying attention to the aside quests where they want you to do certain objectives in
I am
different
doing
maps.
all of them.
You're going to be rolling in the stuff to the point to where they'll be like, "Hey, you're running out of space for Zonite. Do you want to upgrade some things here or sell some?"
So I'm doing everything. I did put my construct on a two-handed weapon because I find that I like a lot of the attacks that go with that. Also, Kalamo is boss. Just being able to decide what element I want to apply to my attacks, just by like which attacks that I'm using, is so good. Just because there's so many different enemies that have different shields and different weaknesses, and there's like environmental things that you can address with certain elemental attacks, and I love how this all pulls together. It just feels so good.
And each of the sages that you end up with have a different elemental attack.
Yes. So wind guy, the birds are windy, and the shark girl is water, and I haven't gotten to the next two yet, but I am definitely looking forward to seeing how they roll.
And your aside quests are going to want you to fit out the construct with different weapons, like kill 100 enemies with a spear or 100 enemies with a two-hander. And I'm kind of glad that they do that because the game kind of encourages you to try different weapons to see figure out which ones you're going to end up liking the
Yes.
most. Because to be honest, I ended up liking spears the best.
I haven't put a spear on the construct yet, just because I have so many spear characters right now. Like, I feel like they threw like four at my face right out of the gate. So I'm kind of chillaxing on giving anybody who can optionally equip a spear one, because I never feel like I'm lacking a spear wielder. If anything, I feel like I almost have too many.
Yeah.
Which is not a thing I ever expected to say about a Hyrule Warriors game. Yes, I have too many people with the same weapon, and it's not a sword. What? So that's really all I've been playing beyond some of my ongoing games. So what have you been playing, Kels?
I played a lot of stuff this week because a lot of indie stuff came out that was relevant to my interests, but and I don't want to go into all of it because we'll be here all day. I'll just go into the interesting ones. A game on Steam came out called Leaf Blower Company that they said is directly inspired by Power Wash Simulator. And yeah, it's Power Wash Simulator, but you have a leaf blower.
Butt leaf
Excellent.
peeping.
And yeah, you have to really think about, okay, how hard am I gonna blow these leaves?
It's a strategy game. Interesting.
There was some controversy because you get a leaf blower to start, and you're blowing leaves into the bin, and then they give you a leaf shredder later. And originally it had a capacity for like 200 leaves and you could upgrade it, but then they nerfed it down to like 20.
Boo! Why did they do
And
that?
they said that the shredder is more for getting leaves that are stuck in corners or leaves that are kind of off to the side that you don't necessarily want to use the leaf blower for, because your leaf blower has a power meter. And it runs out of juice after a while, particularly if you're using it at higher power. So you've kind of got to optimize how much you're charging. And it's a lot easier to just, whip out the shredder and use that for leaves that are off to the side and whatnot. And people were basically just clearing entire levels with the shredder, and that wasn't the intention. But then
Okay.
they do this. And they do this, and then your reward for beating the game is a flamethrower.
Okay.
And yeah, you can speed run levels with the flamethrower.
To a degree, I can see sort of why they would want to save that sort of mechanic for end game.
Yeah, because the thing about the flamethrower is you're not getting as much money using the flamethrower, because you get bonuses for, putting leaf bags in the bin and other objectives, and the flamethrower just obliterates levels. Like I said, it's more for speed running levels more than anything. And each level has different objectives that you have to do, like taking out all the weeds in a level or scaring away all the crows. And then there's optional objectives, like one of them in one of the early levels is scoring three soccer goals using the leaf blower.
Nice.
Nice.
I was kind of proud of myself. I actually po posted a useful thing on the Steam community page, because a side objective was lighting some optional torches in a level with three numbers that are hidden around it. And I was having trouble finding the third number. So I just basically like, well, I have the other two. Let's just light and unlight the torches until I get to hit the objective. And I figured it out that way. And somebody was having the same problem that I had, and I said, just do it like this. It'll work. And then later on, I found where the third number was, and then a dev confirmed that, well, the number is random each time. But
Oh,
brute,
interesting.
but y you know, they're brute forcing it the way I did still works. It was just kind of funny that I thought that it was the same number every time, but I guess that makes sense to have them random. But like the one achievement that I have not found is it says to find a hidden interactable in any level, and I haven't found anything. And I went through a bunch of levels just clicking on stuff, trying to find something that I could interact with, and just can't. And the game's too new, so there isn't really a lot of
There's
guides
no
for
guides
it.
or anything for it yet.
Yeah. So I'm and that, and my one complaint about the game as a whole was that it was way too short because I blew through the main campaign like within a day. And there's a bunch of optional l levels too, and some of the optional levels are kind of fun. Like you go to a orchard that has a bunch of pumpkins and apples, and you've got to blow those into harvest bins. And that's a
Sure.
very challenging level because, for the pumpkins, you've got to crank the power way up, but if you do it too high, you'll overshoot the bins. But it's kind of fun to
See
basically
things
shoot.
go crazy.
Yeah, because it's all physics. I think this the dev that made this even made another similar game called Cash Flow. I even think it's using the same engine where you have to basically literally launder money, as in
Yeah.
washing money.
Oh,
And there's a
goodness.
bonus level where you have to do that with the leaf blower. Gosh, what is the name of that game now? But it's an interesting cozy game. My only, like I said, it's a little short for my taste, but it has a lot of fun variety of levels. That there's a couple of levels that involve game boards where you're cleaning up backgammon. How do you say it? Backgammon? Cleaning up
Backgammon, yeah.
backgammon or Scrabble pieces. One of them you're cleaning the leaves off of a chessboard, and one of the bonus objectives is to reset the chessboard. So I actually had to look up what that looks like. Just a lot of interesting little levels. Oh, and there's a cat.
You pet the cat?
You can pet the cat.
Excellent.
Can you
10 out of
leaf
10
blow the
game
cat?
already.
It's funny because there was a cozy game event on Steam this week, and they certainly know their audience because the artwork for that cozy game fest was just nothing but cats and like a little pug dog, but mostly cats. Cash Cleaner Simulator, that's the name of the game. I'm talking about Leaf Blower Company. They also made a game called Cash Cleaner Simulator that kind of sort of does the same thing. Only you're not leaf blowing. I don't think you're leaf blowing the cash. I think you're just like carrying it around. But my other complaint about the game, that there's no subtitles, and I had a hard time hearing the dialogue because your
Ooh.
character kind of says stuff to herself. And she
They're
says,
very mumbly.
yeah, she says stuff to the cat, and I wanted to hear some of the things she said to the cat because one of them was, "You're the real boss around here, aren't you?"
True.
Truer words never spoken.
And it's just like a f fat little cat, fat little orange cat. It was the publisher that was the same for Cash Cleaner and Leaf Blower Company,
Gotcha.
Forklift Interactive. Kind of a tiny publisher. It's only got like 622 followers.
Yeah, I don't know if followers on Steam is a great metric, because there's not a particularly compelling reason to follow a developer or publisher on Steam when you can wish list individual games, and that's just a better return on interest for both the person making the game and the person playing the game.
Yeah. I'm actually glad I looked up this publisher. They have another game called Automate It that looks like a fun factory puzzle game. So I'll have to I wish listed that and Cash Cleaner.
Nice.
I spent way too much money on Steam this week between that stuff and Squeenix having a publisher sale. I finally bit on the Kingdom Hearts collection because it was down to $50 for all
Yeah, I was
nine.
gonna say 7 games, 9 games.
I can't remember because it's three bundles. One of them is Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5. The second one is Kingdom Hearts 2.8, and then the third one is Kingdom Hearts 3 with the Remind DLC. So it's a lot of content for $50. And I booted up Kingdom Hearts on my Steam Deck just to see how well it ran, and it runs pretty good.
Oh, good.
But and then Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is down to 35, and I think that's probably the lowest it's gonna go.
Probably, yeah.
I cannot see that going under $20. But I don't know, maybe I'll be wrong, but
Well, the
I
next thing will be like a 3-pack with everything, right? So.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. I took advantage of a lot of different like with Steam bundling and how they'll give you an additional discount if you already have stuff, because with
Yeah, if
X,
you have a bit of it, they'll give you a chunk off.
like a game that I had on my wish list for a while called Monsters Are Coming Rock and Road, another Survivors like came out, and it was bundled with Ball Pit. Well, I already had Ball Pit, so it gave me like an extra 10% for just for having Ball Pit with it.
Nice.
Sometimes it works in your favor, and sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't because I didn't get any extra discount for having Final Fantasy VII Remake, even though there was a couple of bundles with Rebirth.
Yeah, the way that those sales work is really squirrely.
But just keep that in mind. If you've had something that you've had your eye on and you already own something else, you might be able to get a decent discount. Just an FYI, but Monsters Are Coming. Rock and Road. This is a Survivors like where you're building a base that rolls down on a path, and you're escorting it. Hang on, let me quick get a
That's
drink of
weird.
water.
So, like, you're base building, but it's really your
Your mobile base building.
the tower
Yeah.
is really doing going on the offensive instead of just being defended.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because you're playing like a little minion and you're running around gathering resources and slaying monsters that are attacking the base. And as the base levels up, you add stuff to it. Like there's flamethrowers and ice explosions and mortars and ballistas and all of that stuff. And the whole goal is to basically build a base that can defend itself for as long as it's going down the path. And you've got to clear the path for it too, because it'll get stuck on occasions, and you've got to like cut down the trees or what have you to unstick it. And it is surprisingly addictive and so much fun, because you unlock different base types. Like one of them gives you a bonus to summoning minions, and it makes it so that every minion that gets summoned is a worker minion, because otherwise they'll just like explode or go attack enemies or whatnot. But if they're worker minions, then they gather stuff for you.
Andy.
So you can do like a minion build, or one of the bases makes it so that you earn a lot of gold and you can buy a lot of level ups instead of just getting to pick from one. But the trick is that you need a lot of gold. And it's just, I sent this to you immediately, Chris, because I knew you would love it, and you said that it was on Game Pass.
It is on Game Pass. I just haven't tried it yet.
Prepare to go down a rabbit hole, because I haven't been able to put it down. I am trying to beat a boss on expert mode so that I can unlock the base that just has a dragon head as a preview. So I imagine it's gonna be like a super flamethrower base. But I still can't get a decent enough build to finish a level on expert. 'Cause there's four different levels and each level has four different difficulties.
So you've done them the second hardest then?
Yeah. The minion that you control also has different weapons that he can equip and unlock. Like, one of them is a buzzsaw that not only damages enemies but also helps cut down trees. And the more wood you have in your base, the faster your attack speed is. And this is another game that's kind of a little bit too new because a lot of people haven't figured out like the best builds and whatnot, and the devs are kind of active on their community too and have been kind of explaining stuff. I'm hoping that they put in a quick restart button for when you die, because when you die, it takes you back to the main menu and you've got to like pick your base and your difficulty by hand. And I just want to be able to like go right back in. There's not much more to it than that. Did you have any questions, Chris, or?
No, I just need to play it.
He's just grouchy because now he has to resist buying it.
I have it on
It's
Game
on game.
Pass.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
It's already installed.
I misunderstood what was happening there.
I feel bad because I had just sold you on the cute fuzzy
I
animal survivor,
know.
and then this comes out.
Everyone keeps telling me about games, then moving to new ones.
I know, but this one had been on my wish list for a while. I think I found out about it on Reddit and was like, that sounds like my jam. There's another one that I found out about that I haven't bit on yet because it's still early access. That's called Be My Horde. That's basically Diablo 1 Necromancer the game. You summon billions of skeletons.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it seems like that would work pretty well, yeah.
And I think that one was bundled with this game, but I didn't bite with that one yet because it was early access. Basically, I've been in between stuff this week because I've been trying to settle on a game, and I think what I'm going to end up settling on, aside from the occasional Rock and Road Monsters Run, is Rune Factory 4, or I'm sorry, Rune Factory Guardians of Izuna. I forgot that one isn't numbered. I was having a hard time getting into it because it starts out kind of slow. But I think it has to because it's introduced instead of your normal Story of Seasons with combat type game, it's a town builder.
Yeah,
It's
it's
a
got a lot of different aspects than other Rune Factory games.
because
So it has to tutorialize more.
one of the things that it introduced me to last night was the idea that you're going to be putting a lot of different buildings down to get your town level up. Because it had me build like a tea house, a blacksmith, and a food cart.
And then it was
And
like, yeah, you can be done for now, but you're going to have lots more to do.
yeah,
Good luck.
and then it's like no wonder it kind of has a de-emphasis in easier bit of farming, and you can hire townspeople to farm, because I have a feeling you're not going to be doing as much farming in this one as you are just like micromanaging your whole town.
It does definitely like I've been watching Smokin' Joe Gamer play it on our Twitch channel, particularly when it first came out. And yeah, it does seem like it has a lot of overhead management that most of the other Rune Factory games just doesn't have anything like that.
And at first, I thought it was going to be overwhelming, which is actually why I'm kind of glad that they are spoon feeding the tutorial. Normally, I hate it when tutorials are dragged out and get spoon fed like that, but with this one, it needs it because there's a lot to go over.
There is so much stuff and things happening.
but I have a feeling that once they kind of take the reins off and let me run around and do stuff, I'm gonna have a blast with it.
Good.
So that's what I'm settling on. I had specifically saved it so that I could play it on my Switch too. There is a $10 upgrade for it though.
If you have the
But
Switch 1 version,
yeah.
makes
Because
sense.
I had bought the Switch 1 version, and then that's when they announced the Pokemon ZA bundle, and Vaughn and I both pre-ordered that like in July when it came out. And I was like, well, you know what? I might as well save this for my Switch 2, because I read that Alex enjoyed playing it on his Switch 2. And yeah, better graphics, easier load times, and it unlocks mouse controls for the town building, which I have not used. Mostly just enabled it just to make sure that the upgrade went through, and then I was like, okay, well, I don't know if I'm ever going to use this, but it's nice that it's there.
It's nice that it's an option, even if I'm not immediately utilizing it.
And it looks like you're gonna get like multiple towns to play around in,
Oh.
which is kind of nice. The opening town is a spring themed town, so I imagine that each town is gonna be a different season.
Season, yeah. That would be very much in line with other Rune Factory games. So there's always seasonal zones and fields.
I had heard so many good things about this game. I'm finally happy to be getting to it. I wasn't 100% sure if I was going to stick with it or not, just because of all the other shiny objects that have come out that seemed interesting. But I'm going to stick with this one because it's got its hooks in me now that it kind of explained more of the game.
I put this on my Christmas wish list because I didn't think I would have the time to play it when I first got my Switch 2, and that was 100% the right
It
call
was accurate,
because I already feel like I have a backlog.
Yeah.
I've had the Switch 2 for like a month. How do I have a backlog already?
And whichever Santa gets it for you should bite now, because I think all the Marvelous games are on sale.
On like Amazon and stuff for the physicals.
I think so.
Gotcha.
They might want to check that out just to be sure. I know that on the digital front they were all on sale, because I saw your skeet.
Yes.
Don't touch Loop 8. It's not worth it even at $5.
Yeah, that game is not good.
I feel bad that I wasted a Christmas present on it, because I after I ended up with it, I saw so many videos saying how bad it was. I don't know, maybe I'll have to play it for a bad game backtrack.
It's just like a lot of interesting ideas, and all of them have just shit execution. Like, I don't know how else to explain it.
It is so funny to me that Farmagia was a game that was kind of like that, and that on paper it sounded interesting, and then in practice it's like, well, there's a good game in here, it just needed a little bit more love
Massaging.
massaging,
Yep.
versus Loop 8, which sounded like it had good ideas, but just they just threw everything in a pot and nothing worked out.
Yeah, that is accurate. I mean, I think the thing that sort of sets Farmagia apart versus Loop 8 is Farmagia is not a technically brilliant game. It
No.
has issues, but it's still fun. And Loop 8 was like, we don't need fun in our games. And yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, literally my main complaint with Farmagia was that it needed more variety of dungeons.
Yeah, like it's the same three pieces of art over and over again, which isn't awesome. And it is very boring and detracting. But also, 99% of the time, I'm running around beating the crap out of stuff. So I don't really care what the dungeons look like. I care, but I don't care. I
I
care, but
just
it's not a deal breaker.
they just they needed dungeons that looked that had like a different look to them so that they didn't look all the same, and they needed different layouts.
The layouts I had less of an issue with. I actually kind of liked the predictability of that because it felt like I could sort of spitball plan of, all right, when am I using my special attacks and am I gonna save up for, a big attack or what am I gonna use my little dudes for? And looking through the encyclopedia and figuring out, all right, how do I trigger a seed drop on this versus that? Oh, I have to use this kind of skill. All right, now that I'm X amount into a dungeon, I can start doing that skill. And so like the lack of layout variety to me was a feature and not a bug. It did make farming for seeds and other rare drops much, much simpler.
Yeah, I guess that could be fixed with a difficulty toggle, I think. I don't know. I'm not a game designer. I'm just spitballing. I can just see people getting bored with the same three layouts so easily.
And yeah, it's one of those things where I could see someone who's speed running this be like,
This layout again?
So there were definitely times I took a little break from playing because it was like, I'm tired of staring at the same three dungeons.
It's always amusing to me when you play a game like that and you try to mentally fix the game and
Yes.
whether or not your fix would actually work versus a professional going in and fixing it.
It is very easy to be an armchair developer. It is much harder to be a real developer.
I do that with movies a lot too. I spent months mentally trying to fix the Beetlejuice sequel, and I don't think I could have fixed that movie.
Was it bad? Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah.
It had a convoluted story that with too many characters that I think could have been trimmed down. And my biggest issue was it with it was that they showed Beetlejuice too soon. I think it should have been a mystery as to whether or not he was going to show up, which I know kind of defeated some of the purpose of it, but I sometimes you got to do stuff like that to make a movie interesting.
All right, Chris,
But
what have you
anyway.
been playing this week, Chris?
Played Path of Exile.
With my blessing.
It was fine, yeah, and I'm playing, and my friends are playing it, and we played together in the way that you play that game together, which is everyone plays it by themselves and doesn't help each other, which is weird, but that's what we do. And then, I fertilized the tree, Andy.
You got handsy with your.
Gave me womb gifts.
You fed the branches of fate.
And the branches gave me presents.
Incandescent, vibrating
What?
presents.
Yeah, sure.
They pulse.
Well, I mean, that's when it's the birthing process, Andy. The birthing process. You have. This is how nature works.
I'm sorry. The POE devs were 100% horny on main when they were making this expansion. And you will never convince me
I'm
otherwise.
not going to try to, honestly. I think you I didn't just play PoE though, because I know I've
What
talked
else did
about that
you
a lot on
play?
this show, and I played little bits here and there of a couple other things, which one is
You
on
played some
stream right.
tactics this week.
Not really, no.
Oh,
Didn't
I
play
thought I
like
saw you
any.
playing it in bed the other night.
Nah. What did I play? I've been watching the sumo tournament, honestly, is a lot of where my time went.
Right.
And then I did some work on one of the nights because I'm a bad boy and I work too much. And then another thing I started is, like, Game Pass has a bunch of games that came out this week, like so many, including some of the things Kelly talked about that are just free on Game Pass, which is dumb because, like, I bought Clover Pit last week and this week it launched on Game Pass because I'm an idiot.
Dope.
So I did play a couple runs of Clover Pit last night. That is the slot machine roguelike. Kind of like, you know, the Balatro formula, but with demonic slot machines that if you run out of money, you die. And you got to keep making more money off your slot machine pulls. And you get little lucky charms and buffs that you can choose from to kind of combo together to make your run go better and make lots and lots of money so you can pay off your debts and not be killed. So I only did a couple runs of that. Other people have played it that I've seen on Twitch. So that's kind of how I know how it goes, but I don't I have not yet developed the skills or unlocked the power-ups to make the successful runs yet. Very early.
Go ahead. I was watching the most fascinating demo. One of the fastest furs runners was playing this Balatro style game Accept X, and the Accept X was Accept Pachinko.
Ah.
So you put pegs in and then you threw balls down, and both the pegs and the balls were things that you had to, like, choose. And you slowly sort of accrued them in the same way that you accrued more cards or different buffs in Balatro. So that was really fascinating. It's not out yet. It was just a demo.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, yeah, when the time comes for a... Is anybody going to be interested in Balatro but X? It's like, that would actually interest me, yes.
Hmm.
There's a lot of different gambling things that you can add roguelike elements to and have them be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm discovering.
The slot machine one sounds very interesting. I normally can't stand slot machines in video games.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the idea of losing virtual money makes me want to puke, which is why I don't gamble in real life, because the idea of losing actual money would just make me cringe.
Yeah.
But being able to play around with it with, like, different buffs and stuff sounds fun.
Oh, Kells.
We gotta get you addicted, Kelly.
There was an interview with the Roblox CEO this week.
Oh, no.
How terrible is the CEO of Roblox? One might ponder.
I've heard he's pretty bad.
No, he's even worse than that.
I didn't even tell you how bad I thought.
Further worse than that.
But I didn't even say anything.
You're a little warmer.
Oh, no.
But you're still not there yet.
Oh, no.
Because as part of this interview, and this isn't even the worst thing that he said, when it comes to gambling, you're never too young.
Oh, gosh. No. Oh, no.
I will never forget when my in-laws were like, hey, you guys want to go to the casino on Christmas Day? And I'm thinking, I said no thank you, but I'm thinking, that's the last freaking place I want to be on Christmas Day. I don't want to see grandma gambling away their kids' Christmas present money on that.
Oh, I've done that with my parents, yeah. And it's fine. You're there mostly for the buffet, and then it depends if you're going with an addict or not. So, like, if you're going with a normal person, they budget how much they're going to lose, and they spend time on the penny slots and stuff. So it's fine, because you're paying for entertainment. If you are not budgeting and stuff, it's
bad.
Yeah. Then you get into that, what you described. So it's like, and of course, you can get worse over time if you get addicted to it. So, like, yeah, maybe better off not going. But as far as a place to hang out, it's like just a slight, you know, a mall with more cost to it, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It just, on paper, it sounded like the most depressing place to be on Christmas.
I don't think you're wrong.
Everybody's in a good mood. And
the buffet's
a lot
good.
Of people are, like, drunk but not angry drunk.
Reboos. So
it is pretty much a good time because everybody's in a good mood.
Okay. See, I should have talked to you guys.
Well, I mean, Vaughn's saying the people would have been addicts.
yeah, That being said, if you don't like gambling at all, it is not going to be entertaining for
Yeah,
you.
no.
But the couple of years that like Chris's family has all gone, we budget like $20 onto the card that you stick into the machine, and then we play penny slots. It's fine.
Okay.
When we're out of money, we're out of money. And that's the end,
And
and
you
then we go
will be
home.
out of money. I mean, if you
You
hit
will be out of
big,
money.
stop immediately. Like, if you made $50, you're done. Like, that's stop.
Good to know.
There was one
I
year
mean,
that Chris's sister hit like a mini jackpot and
yeah, but it's like a
came out
hundred or
with
two
like
hundred bucks.
$250.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fun. But yeah, it's one of those things where you do it once and you're either going to enjoy it enough to be willing to do it again, or you can go, nope, that's good. I'm done. Thanks. Because
Yeah.
when I was a kid, a couple of my extended family worked at casinos, and we went there, but I just went to the arcade downstairs and had a good time there. That's where I learned that being a goth and playing DDR does not go well together.
Yeah, those heavy boots on a machine would be challenging.
Yeah, just a bit. But I did find a crazy taxi machine and had a good time. That game is so fun on an arcade machine. I get to drive like I would normally like to drive, but can't. Because I don't want traffic tickets.
Fair, I guess.
Did you
All
know that
right.
I'm the only one in my current family that's never had a ticket? Knock on wood.
You had a ticket, Chris.
I got a ticket. Yeah, I did.
And then you almost got a ticket
Yeah,
from
from Officer
Officer
Madison
Madison.
in Fitchburg. Yeah.
We were just over the line into a different part of the city that isn't Madison proper. And we were arguing about some detail of the wedding. So this is like ages ago. And Chris was paying attention to our discussion and not traffic and cut off a cop. And the cop pulled us over and was like, "Good day. I'm Officer Madison and I'm with the Fitchburg Police." Did you notice how fast you were driving? And I'm just like, "Yeah, I was distracting him. Sorry about that."
Well, no, it's because I cut him off.
Yeah.
I turned when he was turning, and I was like, "What
Yeah,
the hell
and
did you
you
do?" Yeah.
he was like, "Did you know how fast you were driving?" And I'm like, "Yeah, this is 100% on me. I was totally distracting him while driving. Sorry about that. I won't do that." He's like, "Gonna give you a warning this time."
My dad got cut off by somebody in traffic and got behind them and laid on his horn pretty loud because the lady was on a cell phone, and then he got pulled over for overuse of horn.
Yeah, depending
And
on where you are in the States, there's like a lot of those kind of local bylaws about how much you can honk. In Seattle, you're not supposed to honk unless it's like averting an accident. And even then you can get ticketed for it.
yeah, he was not happy because the cop seemed more interested in getting a ticket for him than for the lady that wasn't paying attention and on her cell phone and cut him off. And that was the most awkward drive home I have ever had because I
You were in the
see,
car with him?
yeah, and
Oh,
I just see my dad over on the driver's seat fuming. Because
no.
I was like a college kid. It wasn't like I was a little kid or anything, and
Oh,
he's
okay.
just, you know that look that like do not poke the bear.
This person is 2 seconds away from completely losing their bananas. Oh, we should do some feedback. I've been playing
feedback.
Winterboro.
Oh, right. You've been actually playing other things.
Literally on the screen right now is a game where you're a little mousy and you go home to your family's, your childhood home that's in shambles, and you have to build it up and survive the winter. And my aunt just got kidnapped by an owl. It's very traumatic, Andy. I'm chasing the owl so it doesn't eat her, and I'm scared. I'm sad for my aunt. It's a cozy survival game, like Don't Starve, but like not. I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't like the term cozy survival horror.
It's not horror. I didn't say horror.
Just survival.
Bad. Yeah, this is but just crafting and building up your house, like you know?
No, cozy survival does not compute. I know it's a thing, but I hate it.
I mean, can your family members die?
I don't know! The game starts with you leaving the city after your parents die, and you go back to the country because the city was just took advantage of them and basically wasted their dreams as slaves in the mines, more or less, and didn't make enough money but to get back home before they perish. So you go home to build up your home, and like you're looking for your aunt, and I found her. She's been teaching me, and now she got taken by an owl, and I'm talking to a frog, and I'm so confused. I need a sword. Oh. Or a pickaxe. They gave me a pickaxe. That'll work. Oh, I don't know. It is very easy to survive, hence cozy survival. I knit myself some new clothes. I made some snowshoes. I made a shovel. And I can every day I'm shoveling. And I don't know. I'm wandering around. Now I'm gonna help frog and somehow help get myself a pickaxe so I can chop stones down. So that'll be an upgrade. I don't know how far this goes. I think it's early access. It's on Game Pass. And I was like, I'll try a cozy game where you're a mouse. And I just didn't expect cozy trauma, which I don't understand that term I just said.
No, but I reject the term cozy trauma wholeheartedly.
It's like, yeah, I got things to do, but everyone's helping me and I can deal with it. We're going to get through it together, Andy. Unless I'm getting through it together with gets taken away by an owl, which apparently just happened. I'm still processing.
What the hell?
I don't know. I'm still looking for her, but I need to make this. Apparently, I need to make a pickaxe first, which is weird. I think she's going to be eaten by the time I get to her. I don't like this. I need to find her. You guys, talk about feedback. I'm going to look for my aunt.
I feel like this game is going to have anti-cat cat stuff in it.
Oh.
Yeah, in the forest. I don't know.
You know, in a mouse game, I will accept some cat prejudice.
No, I understand cats are murdering bastards. I know mine are. But still. Cats are also cute.
Not to the people that they're murdering. The they're killing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen your cat like disembowel a cat toy?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's so cute.
Yeah.
They're still cute. Listen, they're cute when they're murdering things. You're just going to have to accept this.
Yeah, I had a little bit of existential horror when our cute little men pen. When I realized that the adorable shaking of the dog toys is them trying to break their stuffed animal's neck.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, our question of the week last week, what's a hobby you were iffy about at first but really got into? From Shaman, when Pokemon Go came out, I was working from home and my limited time with the game wasn't all that fun, so I kind of ignored it until picking it up in very late 2021. Now it's encouraged me to go out for walks every day and I can meet more people for big events. I'm nice. Even looking for flights into the UK and Mexico, since Pokemon exclusive to those countries are the only ones I'm missing to have everything released in the game at this point.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
Okay.
That's commitment.
I didn't know there were literal region exclusive Pokemon. There,
yeah, they started that really early. So there is quite a few of them at this point.
Yeah, because I don't think I caught one of my favorites, Zangoose, until we went to Japan. So, yeah. From Strawberry Eggs, although I haven't written a story since 2020, I was hesitant at first to post fan fiction to the internet. I wrote stories but kept them to myself, and they are lost to time, never having been backed up. I didn't start writing and posting fanfics until I was 18. Most fanfics writers start much earlier. I find many of my stories kind of goofy looking back, but once in a rare while, I get a favorite on an old fic, and it puts me in a good mood for the rest of the day.
Nice.
Sorry about that awkward read there. I couldn't tell what she was saying. Or no, I was having a hard time processing.
All good.
Did you say our question of the week this week is ask us questions?
Yeah, we're flipping the script this week.
Oh no.
Since it's American Thanksgiving next week, and I'm not 100% sure we're gonna have a show. We're gonna go reversey bango. So we want questions from you.
A AMA, well,
Yep.
within reason.
AMAA.
Alcoholics Anonymous?
Ask you almost
No.
anything.
Ask me almost anything.
Got it. Okay.
Preferably gaming related.
Let's be flexible.
Okay.
Gaming focused. Not gaming mandatory.
Okay.
So ask us away.
What, right now, or are we gonna, we're
No, no,
saving?
no.
Okay.
Send them in.
I'm like, what are
So
we doing?
you can
Let's
head
move
to
on.
rpgamer.com and drop your question in the show thread, or you can drop your question on our YouTube channel, or you can head over to rpgamer.com/discord, hop on our Discord server and find the podcast channel and drop it there.
Sounds
So
good.
ask away.
Hey, ask me what news came out this week.
What news came out this week, Kelly?
Beep, 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 beep,
Boop,
beep, beep.
boop, 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 boop,
Sheeran the Wanderer, the Mystery Dungeon of the Serpent Coil Isle plus announced for mobile in Japan. And
That
yeah,
is a lot of words.
it is a mobile version of the dungeon crawler Sheeran the Wanderer, the Mystery Dungeon of Serpent Coil Island.
Sweet.
And the plus is including all of the DLC previously released for the PC and Switch versions of the game.
Ooh, very handy. I
This
feel
looks
like
old.
people either really, really, really like this game or really, really, really hate this game. And there isn't really anybody that's just ambivalent towards it.
I mean, it's Mystery Dungeon. It's the OG roguelike.
But it's also like a specific flavor of Mystery Dungeon where the enemies can beat each other up and then level up.
Oh, yeah.
And then floors become very, very challenging.
Yeah, the first game of this ilk I remember playing was Azure Dreams. And yeah, it was pretty hard. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I tried that game. I did not keep it after that. It's pretty hard and slow.
I beat that game. Once you get two monsters, it gets pretty easy pretty quick.
Noted.
For the King's Fall and Outfits DLC free update is now. The new kid. Sorry, I'm reading the summary. They released new character DLC for this game, and it comes with a free content update that includes a new adventure for players to take on. Did anybody play For the King?
I haven't. I've seen it, but no, never really done it.
I don't think it's my kind of game, which is fine.
The Fallen Oaths DLC is $8 and adds two new playable characters, and then the free content update adds a new adventure.
Okay.
Just to clarify.
Well, that's nice.
So.
Way to do it. Just free adventures, and then here's some characters. Yeah.
And then please buy our DLC.
Greedfall 2, The Dying World is getting a new early access update.
My most anticipated Hair Frog game right here.
That is a very polite way of saying you expect this game is going to suck.
It has a certain vibe, is all I'm gonna say. And I wanna see
You
Mr.
want to see frogs
I
suffer.
wanna see him drink a potion. Things are about to get dicey. It's where that came from, is Greedfall, so more of that. More NPCs shouting inane babbling phrases over and over and over. Drink a potion.
Well, apparently we didn't want him to suffer enough since we didn't hit our...
We got till the end of the year. Yeah.
We have until the end of the year.
Okay, gotcha.
Maybe Santa will do it for us.
We'll see what happens.
Then Frog can play 10-2.
The end of December.
Yeah. You can go donate to the Extra Life.
extra-life.org/participant/RBGamer.
Yeah.
Just go to the site and search for Extra Life 2025.
And then you can...
make Frog suffer again.
Yeah, make Frog happen.
What else?
I didn't
is
even
there
say.
News?
Okay. Lost Soul Aside update adds new challenge mode.
What is Lost Souls Aside? Because I feel like this is the first time I'm hearing about it.
It was some RPG that Sony was really hyping up, and I don't remember what the premise is.
Apparently the premise is a small person against a giant landscape background, because that's all the screenshots are.
Last Guardian and stuff like that, right?
It's an action RPG, and you have to, there's an expansion, and you're doing a horde mode, it looks like, 100 waves of foes to stabilize the seal in this content update or whatever. Lost Souls Aside follows Kacer, who is attempting to save his sister and humankind from dimensional invaders. He wields a shape-shifting weapon that adapts to the player's combat style and is joined by a dragon-like companion called Arena, who provides additional combat abilities. Yeah. I see no shape-shifting weapons in the screenshots we have, and I don't see this dragon companion. Probably because they're just showing off the new thing that they're adding instead of the main game. But there you go. Lost Souls Aside. What an awkward name.
Unicorn Overlord, Chris.
This is more awkward than Unicorn Overlord.
Okay.
Right. Unicorn Overlord had a unicorn in its lore, at least.
And an overlord.
Probably, yeah.
Bravely Default, Flying Fairy.
Well, that one gets a pass for story reasons.
Isn't it the Fairy Flies?
No, that's the second one.
Oh, okay.
One of them was the Japanese name. One of them was the American name.
Oh, right. Thank you.
Because they both had that interesting wordplay mid-game. Hmm.
Where the fairy flies. Mm-hmm. I am correct.
Hmm.
Legend of Legacy. I thought that was a dumb name. Oh, what did I do to deserve this, my lord? That was an interesting game to pre-order. Especially when it had the full title.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what is up with Temple of Elemental Evil here?
Classic Greyhawk adventure coming to Steam.
This is a new game?
Dungeons & Dragons CRP developed by Troika Games, first released for PC in 2003.
Okay, so it's a reissue, remaster, re-release sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
The Steam version is said to build upon the work of the Circle of Eight and Temple Plus modding communities. Okay. So they're just, they're bumping it up so it incorporates some mod work and probably works better on modern machines. You too can do Temple of Elemental Evil. Elemental Evil.
Okay, I thought this was an interesting story just because of the trajectory. Tales of Berseria remastered set for February. Did you notice that they skipped one?
So I feel like this came up in an interview at some point where they said they were going to do the ones that were the least technically challenging first, and then they were going to start working on the ones that they were going to have to overcome more challenges to produce.
Oh, so you're saying we didn't get Zestria first because it isn't good. Gotcha.
I'm not sure that's quite what I said.
I just wanted an excuse to shit on Zestria because that game was awful. Well, okay, not really awful, just boring.
Honestly, in a lot of ways, that's worse.
Yeah, because a bad game I can make fun of. A boring game is just a boring game.
Boring game is just...
Wait, so which one is Berseria?
The
No, I mean, is it a bad game, a boring game, or a good game?
It's a good game.
Okay. And then, isn't there a Berseria 2?
No.
Oh.
There's a Zillia 2.
Oh.
And did Zillia Remastered come out?
Zillia is the one I couldn't figure out the battle system, right? And then Exilia 2 is a prequel to Exilia. Then there's
Zillia,
right?
2.
No?
Zillia 2 takes place after Zillia.
Oh, I give up then. I don't care.
Zillia 2 is the one that we bought the giant collector's edition
Yeah, and
for,
then sold
you were
it.
So excited for
yeah.
it. And then you didn't even open it.
I know. I'm terrible.
Oh.
This is why I stopped buying a lot of games.
And you sold it?
Yeah.
For a zillion dollars.
It went for a good price, yeah.
I regret not getting that one because it came with the Rollo Push keychain.
You can buy this one and get Apple Gels.
No, I want Rollo.
Digital items. Yeah, okay.
I want my Rollo.
Rollo. No, that's Tales of...
Zillia 2.
Oh.
Rollo is the cat.
Oh, I thought you wanted the pipe smoking dog.
No, that's Zed.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know these
he's
things.
He's in Symphonia, right?
Yeah, sure.
No, Vesperia.
Vesperia, okay.
Rollo is a cat pet. Rollo is a cat, a pet to Ludger and Julius, a very chubby cat. He enjoys his time indoors and does not enjoy much activity. He is a white cat with black tips on his face, ears, paw, and tail. He has blue eyes and a very high-tech-looking cat collar with a gray bell on it. Rollo is not a playable party member, but he still gets his size in the skits and cutscenes. Julius found Rollo as a stray kitty. That is on the Tales of Fandom wiki. Just that run-on sentence with no punctuation.
I'm just like, is this an AI summary or a fan wiki?
This was written by
50-50.
I don't think it was AI. I think AI uses periods better than this.
Oh, Chris.
I'm sorry. This has no periods.
You're awful. Oh my god. Next story, please, Kels. He's embarrassing.
Stella Deuce Time of Alchemy gets Japanese PC and Switch release. What is this?
It is a boring ass PS2 game.
Oh, have you played it?
Yeah, I had to review it. Chris, you know me. I don't fall asleep playing video games.
Yeah, that's my thing.
I fell asleep playing this video game a bunch.
Why are you buying it? You can use it when you wake up in the middle of the night. What are you doing?
I guess that series has had mobile sequels in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, I don't know. This is it's coming to mobile and a PC. Yeah, it's already on mobile. It's coming to PC in December. Like, this looks. What is this, Andy?
Yeah, it's a tactical RPG.
It runs at 3 frames a second. What is this?
The environment is like breaking down in the world, and you have to try to figure out what's going on and how to save it, and is it reversible? And it's just.
This is the mobile version. I got to see, like, the PS2 version. It has to be better than this, right?
Because the screenshots we've got look like it's a flip phone game.
Kelly, this is a video. It just looks like screenshots because the frame rate is so low. Weep. It's so bad. Okay, so the phone version doesn't look great, I guess is what we'll say. I don't know if the PS2 version improves that. But this story is about the mobile version, so I'm going to pass.
Wasn't the big thing about that game?
The PS2 version did come first.
Okay, the mobile version's a pass. Go ahead.
Sorry, wasn't the big thing that the it had the character designer from Persona in it?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, this is, and they're putting the mobile version on Steam. Like, no thank you. Maybe the PS2 version, but not this. Next.
I don't think the PS2 version's any better.
Looks better, though.
It's like I want to agree to disagree.
Oh, no. It looks better. I'm side by side, well... Apparently not. I should be side-by-siding, but from these tiny screenshots, I can tell this looks better than the mobile version.
Okay.
Here's an old Atlas-hosted video. Come on. Oh, the music is better. Oh, yeah, there's animation. There's, oh yeah, no, this is much, 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 much. Even this low-res YouTube video demonstrates that the PS2 version is miles above the look of the mobile version. And the
That's
music
not
is
good.
a bazillion times better. Because they're using really MIDI phone music in the mobile version, and this is using, even if it's MIDI, it's like just a better sound fonts. It just looks, yeah, this is night and day.
I'll take your word for it.
Hairfrog says it's on his list to play, so I look forward to that. Yeah. All right, let's move on to Phantom Brigade. I think you played this at some point at a PAX or something, but this is a 2.0 version of it.
Yes. We actually played this together at
I don't
PAX
remember.
more than once.
I'm pretty sure one of those times only you played because I wasn't interested anymore.
You like
It's
bailed
a
out on me.
mech fighting game. Is it like the definitive tactical mech game it says it is? Reimagined and enhanced because it's the 2.0 version. It has a new recruitment system, a rebalance, rework pilots, prestige ranks, new provinces, new map. That's just the features I could read off before it moved on.
The definitive tactical mech game, I believe Sakura Tyson would like to have a word.
Listen, that's the definitive tactical harem game. Very different.
Thank you for
With
clarifying
Hanafuda
that for me.
cards. So you can play that game.
I thought it was Super Robot Tyson that was the tactical
That's
mech
what I just
game.
said. Oh, no, yeah, Super Robot Wars. That's the definitive anime man game. Because he wants to just see all the crossover anime cutscenes.
I like how Chris is just like slicing all of this into finer and finer parts.
Somebody needs to. Like, come on. So
Or
this
like.
is Phantom Brigade. It's an update to the game. It's 50% off on its regular $30 price. So I guess it means you can get it for $15 until December 3rd. And we've got a interview that you can go see on the site with Bracer Games' Aaron Gordon and Dakota Bossman Kennedy. And we got a link to the full patch notes in the story. So you go to see if it's time to go back and play some Phantom Brigade again, if you're into that. Is this what you've been waiting for, Andy? You gonna try it now?
No.
Oh, okay. But
Every time I played this, I was like, yep, this is a game and it is not for
not for
me.
you.
And I don't mean to say that it's bad when I say that. It's just not to my particular taste. And
I honestly don't
that's
know how this
fair.
works. Is this like XCOM where you design people and you're gonna lose them until you design more ones?
I
Or is this
honestly
like
don't remember the like nitty-gritty of this. The one thing that I just remember is I'm never gonna play this game.
Okay. Well, it looks very cool with this overhaul. But I don't remember all of the specifics of the original to do a side by side in my head. So, but you were into that game or you had it and you want to check it out again or need an excuse to go get it off your backlog. Phantom Brigade 2, 2.0. No, Phantom Brigade 2.0.
2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phantom Brigade 1, 2.0. That's not confusing, right?
Moving on. Stories of Somnia launching in 2026.
That the opposite of insomnia
I don't
probably is
know.
actually. So stories of sleep, so you're playing in a dream world maybe.
That actually could be kind of interesting. It's a turn-based RPG with real-time mechanics. Will launch for in 2026 via PC or on PC via Steam. Set in a fantasy world consumed by a threat known as Gloam. And yeah, not much else to it. It looks kind of
Is this
Paper
creature
Mario.
collecting? I'm not sure.
The story does not say.
All right. Well, it's it's 2D character sprites, like Paper Mario looking characters on a 3D world. So you could call it HD 2D 3D, but I don't think Square Enix would like it. Check that out.
Titan Quest 2 to add Forge Mastery. This is so that you can strengthen your armor or weapons for combat.
So that is a game that's still in early access, but it's an action RPG in the vein of like Diablo and Path of Exile and all that stuff. So,
Yeah.
yeah. So they're adding features as they continue their early access journey.
I just didn't realize this was still in early access. Hasn't
Yeah.
this been in early access for years now?
No, it just released in early access earlier this year.
Okay, I must be thinking of a
I picked
different
it up. I
game.
thought I was going to get into it as an alternative to Path of Exile, and then once again, that thing I do where I'm like, "Oh, I have this game, I should play it," and I never start.
Expectations versus reality.
Guild Wars Reforged is launching next month.
Okay, so this kicks off what I'm calling the midlife crisis year for MMOs, and that is 2026 is seeing a bunch of MMOs getting like remasters, updates, new content, like things that you thought were dead and gone, like they're coming back. And this one I'm counting because it starts in December, but like, you know, it's an MMO. You got it's going to take so long that it's going to go well into 2026. So you want to play old games that you loved when you were. Well, it depends what your age is, but if you're like me, and you're in your 40s, and it's like, I remember those MMOs when I was in my 20s, and it's like you want to go back to it. You have opportunities now. So Guild Wars Reforged comes out December 3rd, comes out for $20, and it comes with the three campaigns of the original game. It's a free update if you already own it, and it adds controller support, updated visuals, quality of life improvements, and it runs on Steam Deck. So, what more can you ask for?
I feel like every time something like this rolls around, people realize it isn't the game itself that they're missing, it was the people that they were playing with.
The friends we made along the way.
It literally is the friends you made along the way.
The problem is they were all jerks, and you quit the guild over drama. So, were they really your friends to
Just
begin with?
because the guild leader was sleeping with someone
Listen,
else's wife.
they took all my DKP. Screw them. I'm making that up. I don't know. The other thing with Guild
I'm
Wars
not
that I need
making
to
it up.
plug is there's no subscription fee. So this is Guild Wars is the
Ooh.
interesting one where you just buy the game and you're good to go.
Oh, right.
Guild Wars
What do
2
they
is
call
different.
that?
They try to get money out of you differently. Guild Wars 1 is more like what I said. And apparently so that now I'm just seeing my YouTube giving me videos like Guild Wars Reforged is not what you think. It's not getting remastered. So like
Uh-oh.
I
Chris spoke
guess
too soon.
no, like this is a video. I haven't watched this video, but like maybe it's not a remaster, but it is, they did say they're making lots of changes. So maybe it just
Maybe they're
looks
making
like
changes that people don't like and
I don't
thus
think it's not
complain.
out yet. They don't know.
Oh, we're
So like
pre-complaining.
we're pre-complaining because the hype is a bit beyond what their expectations should be. So I think this guy's trying to do a service of like bring it down a little bit. Yep, this is going to be good. It's going to help. It's going to be better, but it's not, this is not redo the whole game to make it a modern engine.
Gotcha. So you think he's managing like
Managing
player
expectations. Yes.
expectations?
Yes. That's what this looks to me.
Gotcha.
So, but I don't know. Like, go do your own research and actually figure out where it's going to sit because it's not even out yet. But he's probably right.
But also, he's probably right.
Either way, just the fact that it runs smoothly and on more things is still useful. So, people
Seems
love
like
Guild
a
Wars
good
1,
thing.
right? Yeah. So, in addition to that, there was a story that I don't think we have, but Final Fantasy XI, how they used to have a problem because the dev kits they use were all breaking and they aren't made anymore because they're PS2 dev kits. Yeah, they're finally off those apparently, or they're about to be off them starting next year at some point.
Yeah, they
They
announced this month that they're like, hey, we figured out a way to get it off PS2 dev
like
kits.
this week because they were originally going to just put the game in a maintenance mode apparently, and they had a director who was doing all this, and they had two directors for a while actually, and then the first director is like, all right, I'm going to hand it off to this other guy, and I'm going on to do other things because this game needs to
This
quietly
game
go
has
on
been
life
like
support, right?
decades of my
Yeah.
life.
Well, no, this is a he was not the original director. He may have worked on it for decades.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's moving on, and the other director is like, I'm in charge now, and he's like, yeah, and I want to start getting the dev team. You know, we're gonna start scaling back our work. I want to get the dev team onto things that are better for their career. Well. So the players came back and kept playing. And so apparently they're like, well, Square Enix is like, well, if people are gonna play this and it's gonna have like tons and tons of players, and I've seen some places assertions that it has more players than Final Fantasy 14. I don't know how true that is. If players gonna play, how about we like, you know, keep supporting it. Yeah. So they did. They're like, okay, yeah, never mind. All that stuff. Yeah, we said that, but we've changed our mind. We are moving off the dev kits, and we're going to start adding content. It's going to take a while. Like, it's a big project, but like, it's happening, and we're in the middle of it. And so you're going to start seeing stuff like, I think, March of 2026, and it's going to go throughout the year. They're going to add content and things and make it better. Better. And I don't remember all the details anymore because I read this article earlier this week. But yeah, so I'm saying 2026 is that's at least two MMOs that are coming back in a big way. We got Final Fantasy XI and Guild Wars Reforged. Wasn't there another one? Is there, oh, right. And Final Fantasy 14, Yoshi P said, I'm going to do, another rebirth of Final Fantasy 14. So that's going to get regenerated. I don't know if that's coming out next year or not, but like that's the Yoshi P is all like, yeah, we're going to do like, what was it originally called? Final Fantasy 14,
A Realm Reborn.
Yeah. We're going to do another reborn. Like, oh, okay. Cool. So 14, 11, and Guild Wars are all getting like some sweet loving that you're going to be able to put to have a good excuse to put more time into. I don't know what's happening in WoW, but I expect to see it do something big too. And it's like all the old MMOs, like, here we go.
It continues to fascinate me that to this day we can just say 11 and 14 and people know what game we're talking about.
Do they all?
Yeah. All right. I would say most people do.
Didn't RuneScape also have a RuneScape Classic come out recently?
Mm-hmm. RuneScape Classic? I mean, old school RuneScape has been out for years at
this
point.
But I also thought that there was like a classic version of RuneScape, or maybe I'm thinking of something else.
No, classic RuneScape closed in 7 years.
I don't think you're crazy. Okay. I think there is a...
So RuneScape is a complicated one because what they did is... They forked the game at some point. So they moved forward the RuneScape 2.0 and to 3.0, which is, I think, where they're currently at. And like there was this player base that wanted the game before it got the 3D treatment. And So what they did is they took a snapshotted version of the game from the time frame, I think somewhere in 07 or something like that, of what people liked. And then they put that up as old school RuneScape. And now they've started developing on that. So that's getting improvements along it feels like the old school engine and look, but we're adding things and developing there. And then they've got the real RuneScape doing its thing. And then there's also some RuneScape based as far as the land and lore and systems survival game as well that they're doing. And RuneScape's a whole thing, okay? Like, I did their seasonal event thing last year, and that was how I got into RuneScape, and I haven't gone back because like I did the season, and that's cool because it has lots of experience boosts and stuff, and I don't really want to start leveling a RuneScape character for real from scratch because that would take a decade, but we're gonna not do that in my life, but that was neat. So anyway, the point is RuneScape's got a lot. You could it just never stopped, Kelly. It's just they just keep making more RuneScapes and there's more to do. And then you have the leagues, which is the thing I did last year where they make it an event with interesting mechanics changes. So yeah, RuneScape. So I don't think that one's getting a rebirth unless you've heard something else that I missed here in my little spiel.
I may have been confusing it with something else.
You know what happened this week? Oh, I saw somebody doing this. I thought maybe it was just something I didn't know was already in the game, but it's not. They added sailing to old school RuneScape.
What? Yeah, I heard about that this week.
Yeah, jumping onto boats, heading to the high seas, and yeah, you can sail. They're boats in RuneScape, and it's in. I don't know if sailing is already in the new RuneScape, but they're finally adding it to the old RuneScape. So yeah, they keep updating it. They got a whole new skill, new quests, new bosses. Yeah, so that's the big news for RuneScape that I'm aware of.
And I also thought that like even EverQuest was still being updated.
Yes.
Like,
but like, so I want to. I'm drawing the line here. So like, let's not confuse my thing here, which is like we're redoing old MMOs and kind of like things that were we thought were in maintenance mode becoming fresh and getting big updates now versus like ones that just kind of have been maintained the whole time.
I feel like EQ 1 has consistently had more players than EQ 2.
I think so. And maybe that's unfair that I'm excluding EQ 1 because it, yeah, isn't it continuing to put out like actual expansions? We just don't ever think about it. I tried EverQuest 1. I looked at those controls. I tried to move my character and then I logged out of EverQuest 1. Said this is no. Also, like, there's a reason when you go to the EverQuest website, they're not showing you screenshots of the game. Just saying. You're getting pretty a lot bad. Of key art. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure RuneScape fans are going to be like, or RuneScape fans, I'm sure EverQuest fans are going to be like, what are you talking about? Final Fantasy XI looks bad. This isn't bad. This is fine. It's just retro. This is the way we like it. And you're like, yeah, you're right. I just don't appreciate it. But.
Yeah. Nah, I thought Final Fantasy looked fine for a PS2 era game. EverQuest has never looked good to me. Well, there you go. Nipponichi Software reveals Shinigami Hime to Ishokan no Haibutsu.
What?
Well, it is a picture book style adventure game, and a spiritual follow up to The Liar Princess and the Blind Prince and the Cruel King and the Great Hero.
Oh, okay.
You were a girl called Mono, a descendant of a famous opera singer who is abandoned by her parents and lives in the attic of a theater. So another one of those beautiful art style picture book, but probably sad games.
Mm. And you seem to have a pet who can turn into a big monster at times.
So I know Shinigami Hime is Death Princess. I don't know what Ishokan no Kaibutsu is.
Oh, do I need to Google Translate that? Let's see what Google
thinks. Where's my husband?
He's in the chat. He's like, hey, you did a good job. You did a good try.
I'm getting better at it. Just takes time. The Grim Reaper Princess and the Monster of the Asylum Library.
I like, yeah, Google says the Death Princess and the Suicide Note Monster. Shinigami. Oh, yeah, Shinigami. That's like Bleach. Yeah, the Grim Reapers. Sure. Like the things that people that the job that guides dead spirits to the afterlife or whatever. And then Ishokan no Kaibutsu, which I guess is Kaibutsu must be the monster part, maybe. I don't know. Suicide Note Monster? What was your instead of Suicide Note? What did yours say?
Oh, hang on.
Oh, you closed it. Okay.
Grim Reaper Princess and the Monster of the Asylum.
Monster of the Asylum. Okay. Suicide Note Monster, Monster of the Asylum. Those are very different. All right.
And it's amusing where we know Shinigami from because you said Bleach and I was thinking Death Note.
Fair enough. Either way, right? If you're into that, go check the story out and see if you want to be on the hype train for when we eventually get this at some point.
I still need to play The Liar and the Blind Princess.
Oh, I know when we get it. Well, it's don't get it. Japan gets it in April. You didn't play the sequel yet, Andy, did you?
I don't think I got the sequel.
I thought I just got the plushie. Oh, just the plushie?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
The plushie with the wolf with both of its eyes on the same side of its head?
So, yes, but it has more than those two eyes.
Okay.
So, Vaughn says it's the Princess of the Paper Death and the Beast of the Asylum Library. That's even less understandable than either of ours, Vaughn. Thanks. Now we really don't know what's going on. Of the Paper Death. All right. What else we got, Callie?
Echo Generation 2 announced.
Okay.
I don't even remember the first game.
This is a sequel, apparently.
You are controlling an ordinary dad named Jack as he explores a dimension beyond his home of Mapletown.
Oh, gosh.
Taking on extraterrestrial enemies with quirky allies trying to return home.
It looks like a card-based game.
Yeah.
And then you get a suit like Gordon Freeman, and I don't know what's going on. Things are weird.
PS1 art style.
Yeah. That PS1? I don't know. This looks like voxels, actually.
I mean, a little bit of both, because you've got the chunky character. I don't know, maybe it could be voxels. It's just the character designs just look chunky,
Yeah.
like a
Well, voxels are
PS1 one.
chunky. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I
it's
don't know.
pixelated textures on these models. So yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
They also revealed the Echo Generation Midnight Edition enhanced version of the first game is now available on Xbox.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Sure.
See, did we review this? I feel like one of us reviewed this. Or not one of us, but no, maybe we'd I'm confusing it with another modern RPG that had kids and a dog in it. Apparently it's on my wish list. The first one is on my wish list already, so I don't know. Angeline Error releasing in December?
Re-releasing.
Or
Re-releasing?
re-release.
Right? No, just releasing. Sorry,
Releasing.
I can't read. 25 bucks, December 8th, PC, Mac via Steam. What is this? Got the
Looks
video
like a
up.
top-down action RPG.
I think the second paragraph tells us.
Non-linear 3D action RPG set in a world of humans, fae, and angels. Features a bump slash combat system where players automatically attack when they bump into enemies.
Oh, we got this is an ease competitor.
Effluence RPG hitting Steam Early Access in December. This looks like a ASCII, really messed up
Oh,
looking ASCII game.
wow. Yeah. Cool. Look, you gotta see this video. It's like 3D, but all the textures are ASCII characters, and when you kill an enemy, it falls into letters, and then you can absorb them. I don't know what's going on. This is a weird looking one, but it's got style.
Is and it looks 2D, or is it a Metroidvania or a turn-based?
I don't know what I'm seeing, actually, Kelly. Like, I might have to just try this.
Probably not for people with light photosensitivity.
Sure.
But I like the art style. Expected to spend 6 months in early access. Comes to early access on December 2nd. So I am gonna wish list this to keep an eye on it. And then Doki Monsters Quest heading to Switch next week. This is a Game Boy Color inspired feature collector.
Oh, Air Frog can play this now.
Yeah, it looks very Game Boy Color.
The world of Dokimon. Oh, they got some good 8-bit beats going on, though. Yeah.
Somebody's gonna sue somebody. I don't know. Probably not.
You can pet the
Sold.
cat.
Norse Oath of Blood is arriving in February. This features a story written by author Gils Kristin. I don't know who that is. And you are a young warrior gunner who's set on a quest for vengeance. And the video that we have shows motion capture stuff. Okay, side tangent. I learned this week that supposedly you were going to be able to pet the cats in one of the Red Dead games. I think like one of the modern ones. But the cats that they were using for motion capture were such jerks that they couldn't get an animation of the guy petting the cats.
I can't believe that that studio couldn't afford to get some different cats. I mean, this is Rockstar. Like, what are you talking about? You can't get some different stunt cats? Are you for real? But yes, cats, the stunt cats being unwilling to cooperate is the most cat thing a cat can cat.
Just thought that was funny. Moving on. Crescent Tower released on Switch. Takes place in a fantasy world where the city of Bay. I cannot pronounce that. Midorian sees the
Sure.
Crescent Tower appearing every 50 years, and you are tasked with exploring the tower with
It's
the
got
top.
kind of an NES. What if Mystic Quest was on NES and then had a Final Fantasy, you know what? Not Mystic Quest. how do I explain this? Huh?
Hydlid.
Hydlid? Okay.
Yeah, the overworld and stuff looks just like Hydlid.
All right. And then it's Final Fantasy side view in the battle system. And man, more bopping beats in the trailer for this one, too. Jeez. Who did this soundtrack? They're amazing. All right. Just, check it out. We got an interview with Curry Croquette, who the game developers. So
it's also available on Steam.
Yes.
When I Googled it, that's what came up first.
Yes, that's correct. So this is the Switch version.
Where is this? Sorry, I'm trying to find the Switch version to wishlist there.
Looks like we didn't link it. You'll have to search it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, Ease 10 Proud Nordics coming west in February. Hey. An enhanced version of Ease 10 Nordics available for Switch 2 and PlayStation 5.
You know what Andy had me do earlier this year?
Oh, what? No.
Install Ease 10 onto the PlayStation 5 and get it ready to go him to play.
Oh, no.
How many times have you opened the game, Andy?
Zero.
Uh-huh. And you know what his excuse after I called him out on it like a week or two later? Like, you had me do this. Why didn't you play it? And he's like, well, there's a remastered version coming now. I'm like, oh my God. That's fine.
The real question is, would it make the game any better?
Did you not like it?
It was very disappointing compared to Ease 9.
See, this is my problem with like wanting to wait for the remaster and buy that is like, if it doesn't make the game much better, do you need the remaster? Like, what are they fixing? Anything? Is it just some extra DLC? What?
The sailing was very clunky. The combat just did not flow as well as Ease 9.
So it says the Proud Nordics version includes new content set around the added Uhland Island and adds new major characters Canute and Astrid. And other than that, it says it's enhanced, but I don't really know how it's enhanced. So,
I mean, somebody would have to play it and see if the sailing is fixed, because the sailing was awful in that.
Well, I know what's going to happen now. Andy's going to wait and get the Switch 2 version in February.
Deldar apparently loved the game, and I don't blame him for that. Just for me, it just felt clunky and awkward to play. And I think I feel like half of that had to do with the fact that Ease 9 was practically a perfect game, and that one just felt like kind of a step down. But anyway, that was all the news.
Well, let me tell you what's coming out. We've got The Use of Life for PC. Probably should have put summaries of what these are. I looked them up and then forgot. The Use of Life is a multi-ending adventure book style JRPG. And I don't know, you play some sort of rabbit dude, I guess, and you make choices and do JRPG things. It's in early access. It releases this week in theory. See that all happens on schedule. Solo Leveling Arise Overdrive is out on PC.
So Solo Leveling is like a YouTube series?
It's an anime.
Anime,
believe, okay. Korean in origin? I don't remember.
Is it Korean? Okay. I
think so. Yeah. Solo Leveling the Webtoon with 14.3 billion views. So I guess it started as a webtoon. My apologies.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm like,
I know there's an anime.
This
so
is like not a TV show, but
it is a TV show though. Also,
like I hate it.
They've made both. Like that's how it happens. You start as a webtoon or on Royal Road, and then you go to some other media format, and then you get your anime, and then you get your video game, and then people tell you that the video game sucked, and nobody cares about you anymore.
Someday we'll have an interesting and fun anime-inspired video game.
Someday. Kelly's playing one.
Yeah, that's true. And Formaggio was pretty good. Yeah.
Which one was I playing?
The One Piece one.
Oh, yeah, I didn't talk about that this week.
But you've played it, and you like it, and it's anime-inspired. I guess it's manga game, but still. Like.
Oh, no, it's anime. There's One Piece anime.
Yeah, exactly.
It has all the voice actors from the anime.
So with the solo leveling, I don't know what the I don't have much info on what the game's like.
They're marketing it really hard as an RPG.
Action RPG.
It's like the one thing that I noticed is like, is it? It makes me a little, it almost makes me a little nervous.
It's when I not see free to play. So,
like, marketing this hard as the RPG you always wanted to play. And it's like, oh, that makes me really nervous, actually. Can you not use that phrase?
The beloved story retold with brand new chapters. Join Sung Jinwoo in his journey to become the world's strongest hunter. Dive in both the original story from the webtoon and new adventures exclusive to the game.
That could be okay, or it could be a train wreck.
There's a little no sad puppy dog pet or something. I don't know what's going on here. So, like, yeah. Action RPG. So you're going to press the button a lot to kill things, it sounds like. And then, I guess...
Pressing button to kill things is my favorite.
Having not watched or read Solo Leveling, I assume you get lots of levels, but I don't know how that works out. And since it's kind of like I don't know if it's an isekai necessarily, but it's definitely a progression type story. I'm sure you find some way to exploit the system to get lots of levels and get really powerful, right? Or to make your levels worth more than others.
That's the trope, right?
Yeah, right? So we'll see. Yeah, okay. I'm looking forward to hearing if this is any good, because I've yet to watch it. So it would be interesting as if... for me to experience the story of an anime or webtoon for the first time through the video game. I don't know if it'll be any good that way, but if the game's good, I might try it just to see how that goes.
That feels like an interesting challenge.
Right. Yeah. We have Wizard of Legend 2 on the Switch, which is kind of a roguelike wizard action thing, Dungeon Delver. So if you're into Wizard of Legend or you wanted to play it on Switch instead of PC, you can. Expect more like Diablo roguelike is kind of the vibe I'm getting here. But and then we have Of Ash and Steel for PC, which is a immersive third-person open-world RPG is how they label it. So think like what's the other one? Oh no. What's the one where you're set in Hungary and it's got a sequel? Something Kingdom.
Is that, are you thinking Kingdom Come Deliverance?
I think so. Yeah, I am. So this has those vibes to me, at least. So, and you can fish, it looks like. So what more do you need? Level up, do nothing, waste time, never engaging with the plot. It's that sort of game, it looks like.
So, okay.
I'm looking forward to how that reviews as well. Oh, it's already on my wish list even. All right, cool. Yeah. And that's all I got for you. We have any editorial content?
Just one review for Demon School.
Oh, Andy, are you interested in Demon School?
Yes, well, I think more accurately, uh-oh, I was interested in Demon School.
Oh no.
Because this is the game that I've complained about on the podcast before, because if this had actually come out in September when it was originally slated to be out, I would have immediately played it. I'd like clear time off of my schedule. That was going to be the time I played it. And then Silk Song got announced with like 10 days lead time and everybody delayed their game. And, like, if you're another Metroidvania, if you're another, like, action RPG, if you are a roguelike, then, yeah, 100%, I can see you, like, just bouncing out of the way of Silk Song. But Demon School is a tactical RPG indie. Like, why did that need to bounce 2 months later to be out of Silk Songs?
You sound bitter about this.
I am, because I've known since before the game got delayed from talking to Dalendar that this game is really good, and I have always been consistently interested in this game. And now that it's November and it's coming out, I am already like four games deep in a Switch 2 backlog, and I have no idea when I'm going to get to this because other stuff is more interesting right now. So it went from a I'm going to buy and play this on day one to, I don't know, maybe I'll buy it when it's on sale.
And it was particularly frustrating for people like me who gave no f's about Silk Song, and
Same. It's like,
hence the meme I posted. I'm not playing Silk Song.
yeah, exactly. I'm not playing Silk Song.
So Demon School, he gave it a 4 out of 5, saying that it's got tons of mileage from a thoughtful combat system, mixes horror and comedy in delightful ways, a strong cast of characters with wonderful designs, boss fights are always a fun spectacle. The negatives is that the story pacing is hurt by forcing it within the established calendar system, and filler battles can distract from climactic moments. And I forgot to mention this Demon School very much borrows from Persona 1 and 2,
Yeah.
even the combat. So that's all we've got.
Kelly, what are you going to be playing this week?
More Azuna.
I want to get much deeper into Hyrule Warriors, Age of Imprisonment. Maybe I'll do a couple of levels of Zelda as well. Sorry, maybe I'll do a couple levels of Final Fantasy Tactics as well.
Ooh, there you go.
Had to like brain that one out. What are you gonna play, Chris?
I'd like to play some more Path of Exile, but I'd like to keep diversifying and playing a couple different games at the same time. So maybe more with this Winter Burrow game, see if I can find my aunt. Maybe some more Clover Pit, or maybe something else. Like, there's just a lot of games to try out, and I'm trying to figure out how to balance time and the fact that I can't play everything and I shouldn't buy everything and figure out what to do. So once I decide whether or not I want to play this Dokkamon game because of the good music, or not, and I finally get over and I don't need to play every game with good music, then I'll probably go and pick something off the Xbox Game Pass.
Hey, R Rock and Road has good music.
Oh, darn it. All right. Well, that one's on the Xbox Game Pass, so that'll work. And I don't have to pay anything. All right. Thanks.
No problem.
I still want to go back and play more Ball Pit, and I just don't. I'm at the point where I'm just grinding to do harder levels, and I don't want to just. I want to play other games too, and so it's hard to
I
choose.
really hope that they release more content for that, though. I mean, crap, there was like 8 levels, which is pretty good for a game
But is
like
that going to
that.
work? Like, do you go back and play the new content in Vampire Survivors? Because I don't.
If it's a significant content update, I
You
do.
do? And you finish it all?
Yeah.
I haven't finished all the Castlevania stuff even.
I think the last time I went back was for that free what was it? The free saga update.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't touched that, and I haven't touched the Balatro stuff. I feel like it's one part. I feel like I'm the opportunity cost is too high to play a game I've already finished, quote unquote. But also on the other part, I feel like I should be free to go dip into these things. And maybe like I can try it out and not finish it, and I have to learn how to do that better. I don't know.
That's really hard for you.
I know, yeah.
And
Hazel Willow in the chat
then you like
says,
beat yourself up for not finishing it
I
too.
know, right? Yeah. And they're
Can't
games I
stop
would
that,
actually
please.
legit like to finish, because I think it would be their narrative, like their strong narrative. So seeing the ending does impact your enjoyment of the game. And that would be like Expedition 33 and the Pathfinder game I haven't finished yet, the Wrath of the Righteous. But I don't know. Those are the ones I really feel like I should go back and play, and I'm trying to learn to at least the other ones that, you know, they don't have that strong narrative conclusion. I can just let them go and just be like, yeah, I tried it. There's lots of games. I do a podcast. I can't finish them all. But yeah, that's hard for me, Andy. Hazel Willow said in the chat, did you see there's a new Vampire Crawlers game coming out?
Yeah, that one looks like it's trying to do a Balatro.
Gonna look. Vampire Crawlers. The Turbo Wild Card. No. Vampire Crawlers, the Turbo Wild Card from Vampire Survivor. No.
The Vampire Survivors guy is doing a Balatro like.
It's a card-based dungeon crawler with
Okay.
like, you know, it looks like it has the chest opening sounds and the fun music and feedback that we love from Vampire Survivors. This
Ooh.
seems like a shoe-in. When's it out? It's game of the year.
I think next year.
Perfect. I did not see that, Hazel. Thank you. It has now been added to all my lists. That's fantastic. Do we finally get a vampire? Or is there still no vampire in this game? That's the best part of Vampire Survivors. There's no vampire.
There's also going to be a Vampire Survivors, like, actual board/card game.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, I saw it on Kickstarter, and when I was just like...
When did they get, when did they get their webtoon and anime?
I would watch a cartoon with that.
Does Critical Role get a tabletop RPG one-shot adventure with Vampire Survivors? Has that happened yet?
That would be
nice.
That would be cool.
It would be pointless, but I just want to... It's the kind of dumb, pointless thing that makes no sense that I could see fitting in with the Vampire Survivors franchise, meta, whatever. Oh, yeah, this looks great. Yeah, so many cards, and just keep... Oh, yeah, just play all the cards, get all the upgrades. Perfect. Done. All right, I look forward to that. Hopefully it's good. We'll see.
And if it isn't, at least you'll have a fun story for the podcast.
That's right. Okay. Well, with that, I think we're done. The question of the week is to ask us questions. Whatever you want, ask us questions to answer on the show. That means Andy has to be back next week so he can answer the questions.
Save for work, please.
Yes. I mean, we'll just skip them if they aren't, but yeah.
I know, but I'm just putting that out there.
And you can ask those questions in the thread on the website or in the feedback section of the Discord and maybe in the YouTube of the posting. I don't know. We remember to check that. That's the least reliable place to do it. But yeah, cool. I think we're done, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you next week. 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, right here at twitch.tv/RPGamer. Maybe next week. Yeah, Thanksgiving.
It's going to be the Saturday right after Thanksgiving. So there might be a show, there might not. We're going to do some organizing and behind the scenes and figure it out.
Yeah, we're going to do some organizing, and some people would like to take vacations just because we're old and in need of care.
Yeah, and I've got to cat-proof my area. Wish me luck.
Good luck. All right.
And in case you need to feel old today, in 2005, the NES was 20 years old. As of today, the Xbox 360 is 20 years old.
No, but that means the NES is 40 years old.
Yep.
That's what's even worse. You didn't mention that.
Wasn't the Wii's anniversary this week, too, for 20 years?
Possibly.
When did the first Red Ring get reported? 360. That's what I want to know.
Tomorrow.
Came out today, Red Wing tomorrow. I don't think it was quite that soon, but yeah.
Could have been like 6 months to a year later.
All right. Okay. So we'll see you in a week or two. Thanks, everybody. Catch you next time.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.